hour of my show. Welcome back to my listeners on the podcast. Yes, we're talking about the style of so-called government coming from the executive office of the United States is not based on any kind of rational reasoning. It is based on the narcissistic whims of a very fragile ego, which is extremely dangerous for us and for the world.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that people can't see that when it seems like to you and I so crystal clear.
It is. It is amazing that it's so sad. Yes, we see it. Most of the friends I have listening to my podcast see it because, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here. We know what's going on. And unfortunately, there are great masses who do not see it, as there's this solid base that this runaway corrupt executive has of about 40% of the voting electorate that just seems to solidly follow him, regardless of how obvious it is what a liar, gangster, corrupt, and inept.
And
what was that?
Egotistical.
Egotistical. Yeah.
That's, I guess, minor of his.
Well, no, unfortunately, it winds up being a major flaw. It actually is behind a lot of his other flaws, because part of the reason he's corrupt and so inept and incompetent and is because he's egotistical, because he doesn't take careful consideration of very many factors in making a decision. It's all about what is best for me, me, me. And at the moment, he doesn't even look in advance, because, you know, if he was looking past the current news cycle, then he would have taken the correct steps to counteract the oncoming pandemic of coronavirus, which we saw coming a mile away. Because with a goal of getting reelected, if he actually thought any long term, he would have realized that he needs to, you know, allow the stock market to take a little hit for a few days so that he can avoid massive economic disaster in a couple of months. But he's incapable of thinking that far ahead.
Right. And now he's saying close to schools, which, oh my God.
Huge mistake.
Insane. Insanity. He's going to kill his entire base.
Yeah, and if we look at where the coronavirus is worst today, less than a week ago, 4 days ago, there's an article in USA Today which ranked the states with the highest number per capita of COVID-19 cases, because, you know, we could say, yes, the most cases in the country are now in California and Texas, but that's because, you know, in the case of California, we just have such a greater population that a smaller percentage of the population getting sick is still a lot of people. But of the top 10 states in per capita COVID cases, or let's stretch that to the top 15. The top 15 are Louisiana, Arizona, New York, New Jersey, Florida, Mississippi, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Delaware, Nevada, Tennessee, and Maryland. And I went through those quickly, but of those top 15, 7 of them are from the original Confederate states of the South: Louisiana, Florida, Mississippi, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee. Texas is
how many states were in the original Confederate Union?
There were, I believe 10 or 11. I think there were 11. And Texas is number 19. Arkansas is number 20. North Carolina.
You're talking about these are states with per capita, most cases.
That's right. Per capita. Yeah, not total, because some of them are smaller states, like, you know, South Carolina is a pretty small state. So if you looked at the total numbers there, yeah, they're a lot less than the huge state of California. But if you look
at... What number is California?
California is number 23.
Per capita.
Per capita, yeah. Which, you know, isn't great. It's in the top half. You know, we don't like to see that. The only Confederate state that is doing well on this list is Virginia, which is number 46, which perhaps not coincidentally is the northernmost of the Confederate states. The one that, you know, borders on Washington, D.C.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So
now has a Democratic governor, by the way.
Indeed. And let's give that credit for what's going on, too.
Right.
Yeah.
All the other ones have Republican governors, don't they?
I at the top of my head, I can't guarantee that. I believe so. Yes. Yeah, they do. They all have Republican governors, and they are most certainly red states that voted for Trump in the 2016 election. And
I mean, let's change to the Axios interview. So go ahead.
Oh, well, no. I mean, we can pivot to the Axios interview, because that is mind blowing.
Right, because Swan actually called him out and said, you know, all your red state listeners, I mean, fans, followers, etc., follow your advice.
Yeah.
What do you say about that? And he had no good answer, right?
He doesn't have, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. He doesn't have good answers.
Yeah, no, that was basically, I mean, the interview was just a spectacle of who this man is.
Oh, it
right
was,
out there.
It was stunning in its, and just statements like, well, those deaths, it is what it is, right? Dismissive of 150,000 deaths in this country. It is what it is, but we're doing great.
Well, it's just going to go away. So you can count on that. You know, sometime it's going to go away. Sometime it will go away.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Has the common cold or the flu gone away?
No, the common cold has not gone away.
It's their SARS-CoV-2 or
right.
Corona.
The flu hasn't gone away. HIV/AIDS hasn't gone away.
Viruses are pretty sticky.
I mean, there's a few that went away. SARS-1 went away, you know.
Okay.
And for the most part, Ebola was brought under control and is not. Now, there are still occasional outbreaks. Harkening back to our conversation about vaccines, some of the terrible viruses of the past that have gone away did so thanks to vaccines. Such
vaccines if you look at epidemiology 101, what are the things that are going to help keep, you know, contagions from spreading? Isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a mask.
Yep.
Vaccines and treatment. That's about it.
Well, actually. Sorry, just to add to that, testing and contact tracing are number one.
Yes. Okay, good point.
Yeah.
And but the fact that the country is fighting about wearing a mask or social distancing is beyond the pale. It is like the basic facts of how you contain a virus or anything.
As I say, it's well-established best practices. that they've done in every country in the world that has been successful. And that's almost every country in the world. Basically, the United States and Brazil are the only two countries that have abjectly failed to take, you know, to take just the basic, the basic, well-established best practices to contain a virus and a pandemic of this sort. It's not rocket science. Pandemic.
No, in fact, I think I saw an article that basically said every country that has been successful in containing and controlling the virus has put scientists in charge of in front of policy or in charge of policy.
Yeah.
The nations that are failing have put politics first.
Right. Yeah. It's a health crisis. So that
turned political.
Right. A health crisis should, the response to a health crisis should be led by health experts. I mean, that, again, it sounds really obvious to us. And yet, that's not what's happening here in the United States or in Brazil, which are the two most obvious abject failures in combating this virus. And by coincidence, that is not coincidence. Bolsonaro, the leader of Brazil, who, by the way, did get the COVID virus, that's a little bit of karmic comeuppance there, and is known as
the, now?
Yes, yeah. He says he's recovered now. He officially announced that he got it last month, and. Uh-huh. Even when he had the virus, he was still taking his mask off of his face in public and shaking hands with people. Yeah. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And he, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. Yeah, it's shocking. He claims that, oh, the COVID is just a little flu. We Brazilians, we're tough. We don't have to worry about that. And
what I was going to say is also Don Jr. We haven't heard anything. His wife got it.
That's right.
Her girlfriend.
His girlfriend.
What happened to those two?
Yeah. Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend. And her name is, and I've got her name always falls out of my head, but because I want to mention it, I'm going to Google her right now. And that's Kimberly Guilfoyle. Is Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend, who ironically was once Gavin Newsom's girlfriend. When Gavin, when Gavin Newsom.
Wife,
that's right, his wife. Well, she was his girlfriend first, and then she was his wife. And this was when Gavin Newsom was mayor of San Francisco. I believe, if I recollect properly, I believe that he married her while he was mayor. If my recollection is correct, after divorcing his previous wife, and I don't remember her name, but yeah, she was Gavin Newsom's girlfriend after, and then she went on to be a commentator on, I think, Fox News. And then got together with Trump Jr. And
that's weird.
Well, sort of, except I guess we see where her kind of taste in men goes is to powerful and wealthy political people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, on the young side, which makes, you know, around her age, powerful and wealthy political figures around her age. But
well, I wonder how she feels about the COVID virus right now.
How she feels about it?
I have a friend who got it. She's about 50, 55 years old. Very active, healthy adult.
Yeah.
Was out skiing in February at, I think, Colorado somewhere. Just got exposed to the virus, got it. Came back to San Diego, got so sick that they put her on the ventilator.
Oh, terrible.
They didn't know if she was going to live or not. And at one point, she even said, I hope I die. I can't handle this. it was so horrible. And she'll have lifelong issues and problems, you know? So
yeah, yeah. And
nothing to get herd immunity, though, of.
No.
Know,
yeah.
It's something we avoid, like polio and the measles.
Right. It's nothing to mess around with. It's not like the flu.
No.
You know, you will get over the flu.
It's deadly.
Well, now,
it
is far deadlier than the flu. And to be fair, the flu does kill, I forget what, you know, maybe a couple hundred thousand people a year globally. The flu does kill many people, not like COVID, and it's certainly not as contagious as COVID.
Right, and I think those numbers would be improved if we had universal health care around the world.
Quite so.
Far less flu deaths.
That's very true. And also, if more people were vaccinated, the more people get vaccinated against the flu, the better everyone's chances are.
Right.
Which is the case with any virus. Every healthcare professional throughout the world that has access to a flu virus gets it every year. And that is a strong indicator of the medical benefit of getting that vaccine. If every medical professional gets it, that might be a clue to those of us.
They might have an idea of its effectiveness and, detriment.
Right. Yeah. Medical professionals are probably going to make pretty good medical judgments, much better informed medical judgments than Alex Jones on InfoWars, right? Who are you going to believe? Every single medical ministry of health throughout the world, every doctor in America, are you going to believe all of them? Or are you going to believe Alex Jones of InfoWars?
Well, you know, Alex Jones probably does have the single oil cure for COVID that he's just got up his sleeve right now, ready to market it.
Oh, I think he's already selling one. Yeah, I think he's already selling one.
Yeah,
and
I think you're right.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the very popular false claim is that hydroxychloroquine is the cure, which it isn't,
right.
And which medical professionals have already proven not only is it not a cure, but it is extremely dangerous and kills people.
Right.
It is actually used for malaria, as a treatment for malaria, and it's also used as a treatment for people who have lupus, and that is because it has some effectiveness against those diseases, and also because the risks of those diseases are so high that it's worth the risk of taking the hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
And the fake story, the false story that hydroxychloroquine is effective against COVID, which it is not, it actually also hurts the people who actually do have diseases that need it. And now this causes shortages because all of the people who believe the QAnon nonsense and who believe the lies of Trump and his lackeys and toadies are rushing out to buy that. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's
and
horrible.
Yeah. And we know that most people who get COVID apparently recover. And I say apparently because we don't know yet what the long-term effects of the infection are. And increasingly, studies are showing that there are extremely detrimental long-term effects to having been infected with COVID, even if the initial symptoms did not seem serious.
Right, and they're not even seeing necessarily immunity to future
Right.
You know, COVID. It's crazy what, and people are trying to do these COVID parties to get it, to get some sort of herd immunity idea, and they have no idea what they're exposing themselves to in the long haul.
That's insane. That is absolutely insane. You know, but it does recall, wasn't there a practice at some point where parents would try to expose their children to other children who had measles so that they could get a
chicken pox. It was chicken pox because back in those days, they didn't have a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And they did know enough about chicken pox then that the younger you were that you got it, the least impact it would use, detrimental impact that it would usually have.
Right.
And so they would, and they did know it offered immunity once they had it.
Right.
So they would have this kind of like, okay, my 3-year-old has chicken pox, you know, come on over.
Right.
So that, because it's a horrible disease to get chicken pox as a teenager or an adult.
Right.
I mean, very bad.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, in some ways, it seems like, but we know a lot less about the COVID, but apparently for the most part, it winds up being much milder among children who contract the virus than among adults.
So it seems.
It seems.
There are still issues that they're starting to note about that as well.
There are. And also, when I say children, it's been children under 10. So there are a lot of children older than 10 out there. And when they're talking about reopening the schools, there are a lot of students older than 10. But yes, and the long-term effects are not known. And they can also bring the virus back to their homes where they have adults that they can infect, including adults that may be in categories that have much higher danger if they contracted, elderly people, people with compromised immune systems, et cetera.
Many, many grandparents live with their children.
Yes.
And grandchildren.
Yeah. And then any spread, any community spread, then risks it spreading just wider on the community in general. All of those people then go to the store and they spread it to anybody else at the store, et cetera. The countries that have reopened schools are the countries that have already gotten the virus epidemic under control. That's
right.
The direction
exactly.
You have to go. You can
right,
open
and that requires the testing and the contact tracing.
That's right. Said. Yeah, the testing, the contact tracing. Yeah, and those are the first steps. And then if that gets out of control, that's when you've got to isolate everybody. The countries that effectively got on board contact tracing and testing right away thoroughly never had to shut down, never had to isolate. I'm talking about Iceland and South Korea and Taiwan, New Zealand. Those countries, because they were extremely diligent about contact tracing and testing from the very beginning, they never had to shut down their whole economies. That's how you do it. But that's not what we did here, no. And that's not what we did in Brazil. Yeah. So that's what you got to do if you want to open the schools, not let the virus run rampant, open the bars first so that
Well, the bars are another crazy one. What drunk person is going to think about, like, being careful? That doesn't happen.
Of course.
It will bother me even more because, well, what's going to happen is all these schools that are opening early, like now in August, are going to have the disasters. And by the time it gets to September, we'll have a pretty good idea that I'm pretty certain almost all schools will be shut down by then.
Yes. Hopefully they won't open at all.
But it just saddens me that the trauma and death is going to have to happen for that to occur.
Yes, it really does sadden me. It brings to mind a article that was in the Washington Post called "I'm Sorry, But It's a Fantasy," where with an interview of Jeff Gregorich, a school superintendent in a small town in Arizona, and he's talking about how he's being bullied to open up his school. Right in the middle of thank you for posting that. And
right, and what about these kids that are going to have to live with the trauma that they may have killed their parents,
right,
or their grandparents,
right,
or their teachers, or their best friends or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know that it's terrible for children as far as their academics and their mental health is very important. That's what schools provide.
Yes.
But how about life and death?
Yeah. That's the first step. You know, it's entirely backwards. You follow the best practices to bring the epidemic under control, and then you can open the schools, and then you can open the economy. It's not an either or. It's if you don't do this, your economy is not going to be able to function. People put forth this false dichotomy about, you know, as if you have to choose between the economy or the disease. It's not either or. If you want your economy, you want your economy to thrive, you're going to have to take into operation the control of the disease first. That's the first step. For all of that, for the school, yeah.
It's crazy.
It is a crazy, crazy time. And we really need to get that criminal out of the office, and we need to get all of his toadies and lackeys in the Republican Party out of their offices. And we have only one viable opposition party, and they are influenced by the progressive influences such as Bernie Sanders, AOC, and others. They are in the camp of the current nominee of the Democratic Party, Joe Biden, for president, and at all of our state levels, we've got senators and congresspeople. We need to get the Democrats back in control of the government so that we can turn this around, because it's just going to go further. Yeah.
I just wanted to add one thing, because until we get Citizens United and the money overturned and the money out of politics, both Republicans and Democrats are going to be corrupt, and we have to hold the Democrats as accountable as we are the Republicans.
Well,
right now.
I just think that right now the Republicans are clearly the party of destruction. And
yeah.
Although the Democrats are certainly a corporate party with a lot of corruption, you know,
the Republicans are fascist, in my opinion.
They're thoroughly corrupt. They're the party of the rich only.
Yeah.
They're the party of control. And though the Democrats are also a party of the rich, they are not only the party of the rich. And the Republicans will never listen to the left. They will only try to crush the left. But the Democrats, we can certainly
across the aisle.
Right. We can validly criticize them for not doing enough, but they will listen. They will not crush. Carla, I've got to cut us off at this point, because my hour is just about up. I'm going to close out the show. I want to thank you very much for calling in and for this really interesting discussion that we had. Thank you for everything that you're posting on Facebook. I really appreciate your perspectives.
Thanks, Richard. It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you very much. All right. Take care. We'll see you on the social media, etc. Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carla. Bye-bye. And I would like to thank all my listeners for joining me on this week's Richard Rants show. Please come back next Wednesday at 5:00 right here, and then post it to social media. Peace and love. Rant and resist. Rant and resist! I'm going to go to the next one.
Thank you.